Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WS Radio, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Welcome to APS Stamp Talk with your host, Nancy Clark.
He's got the bug. He's got the fever. It's not fatal, but it surely is fascinating. Larry Fillion is our next guest, talking about malaria, a real killer. I'm Nancy Clark, and you're listening to APS Stamp Talk on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
With nearly 50,000 members in more than 110 countries, the APS is the largest nonprofit society in the world for stamp collectors. The American Philatelic Society services are world-renowned and include a subscription to the American Philatelist, the Society's 100-page monthly journal. With APS, you can buy stamps online safely, with no bidding, watching, or waiting. Build your collection from the hundreds of thousands of competitively priced stamps offered by other members. You can also buy and sell stamps via the APS Mail Sales Circuit Program, borrow reference items by mail or in person from our library, save on APS-sponsored stamp insurance, obtain authoritative opinions on the genuineness of stamps and covers, and much more. To find out more about an APS membership, visit our website at www.stamps.org. That's stamps.org. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, eBay sellers. We've got an exciting new eBay feature from DHL, the world's leading express delivery company. Here's how it works. Simply click on your eBay sale, choose the Ship Rush option, and with a few mouse clicks, verify the address, print a shipping label, notify your customer, and start tracking the package. It's just that easy. In fact, the only thing Ship Rush doesn't do is pack the box. But we're working on it. To add this eBay selling feature to your computer, just go to wsradio.com/DHL. In minutes, you'll be up and running with ShipRush. Save time, save money, and receive great feedback with fast deliveries from DHL. Add ShipRush from DHL to your computer today. It's free at wsradio.com/DHL. ShipRush. One more way DHL is putting customer service back in shipping.
Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WS Radio, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Welcome back to APS Stamp Talk with your host, Nancy Clark.
A month or so ago, I heard Larry Fillion talk about malaria and mosquito-delivered disease, and the philately thereof. I'd not anticipated the depth of the subject nor the possibilities for collecting the material. This being the warm weather, mosquito-thriving time of year in the northeastern U.S., talking about malaria seemed a good choice for this summertime show. Larry Fillion, president of Malaria Philatelist International, agreed to make time to come on the show. Welcome to APS Stamp Talk, Larry.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you could join us. How did you get interested in malaria and its philately?
Well, about 15 years ago, I got a commercial cover with some insect stamps on it, and I started collecting insect stamps in general, and then I found an omnibus set of 15 stamps from French colonies dealing with malaria, and then I was hooked.
But not on quinine.
No, not on quinine.
But, you know, I mean, I know the first stamps that I remember seeing with mosquitoes are these fairly common sets put out by the World Health Organization. And I guess I never realized that malaria is still a killer, that it's not something that's eradicated from the face of the earth or even particularly controlled in much of the world.
No, agreed. It's still, it's tied for AIDS, for the deaths. 1 to 2 million people a year are still dying. And it's troubling because, you know, there are some ways we can help people, but it's tough to get some of these medicines into those areas. And just with the rains and the humidity, it's hard.
Now, it used to be a problem in this country, too. I think people were talking about it as being in Philadelphia, even, and Washington, and in Charleston, and yet they don't seem to have that problem now.
Yes, early in the century, last century, there were some cases within a few dozen a year that they were happening in Philadelphia, down in Florida. And by cleaning up areas that have a lot of water, that are, you know, standing still where mosquitoes like to lay their eggs, it's been, you know, quote-unquote eradicated. There are some cases in the U.S. still, but usually that is from people bringing it, you know, contact, getting it and coming back into the country.
Oh, and coming back with it. Now, some of the best-known malaria-related stamps have to do with the eradication of the disease. How did that program work?
In 1962, these stamps were produced, but within 5 years before that, the WHO had set up a program to eradicate, they attempted to eradicate the mosquitoes off the planet.
Now, WHO is World Health Organization?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And they weren't getting enough funding, so what the organization decided to do was to talk to all its members to say, can you create these stamps and donate some of the stamps to the World Health Organization, and they will sell them and take the revenue and apply it to the eradication of mosquitoes.
And which countries participated?
There was over 100 members, everything from the U.S., Canal Zone, many countries in the African area, European countries, essentially worldwide.
And how did it work out? Did they get a lot of money to do this?
They didn't get as much as they had hoped, and of course the program eventually failed due to the fact that you cannot eradicate mosquitoes off the planet. It was a valiant effort.
So to totally eliminate malaria, you would have to get rid of every mosquito that exists, not just a certain type, but all of them?
No, you would only have to get rid of them. There's only a few types that are that carry the malaria vector. Anopheles is one of them. And right now the scientists are doing research on potentially mutating the mosquitoes so that they do not carry the vector. And, you know, we don't know how they're going to actually do it. We don't know the answer.
Okay. Now, you said that you got started on this because you saw a stamp used commercially on cover. I would think stamps used on cover might be difficult to find properly used.
Yes. Some certain countries, it's not as hard as you would think. The U.S., I have maybe 15 commercial covers. From Vietnam, I have about 40. From many other countries, like Italy, I have 15. But some other countries, I just don't have any. Venezuela, they're just not out there. Whether they weren't used that much or the price of the covers do not warrant a lot of dealers bringing them to the shows.
Uh-huh. Now, were there special uses, like some kind of a malaria-type label or use for Red Cross or for World Health Organization itself?
Well, the World Health Organization themselves, their offices, they had slogans that they produced for the 8 offices worldwide,
mm-hmm.
if that's what your question was.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to know if it was possible to have malaria covers that were obviously related to either of those health organizations.
Yes, yes. There are multiple slogans out there. And actually, one of the initial malaria items to collect is the slogan from Venezuela from the late 30s.
So that's pretty early in the fight, I would think.
Yes. It was a different program for fighting. And also, Indonesia had their own campaign starting in 1960 to eradicate malaria on their own.
Okay. If you'd like to join in the conversation with Larry Fillion, email me at nancy@stamps.org or call 877-474-3302. To check out the podcast, go to www.wsradiopodcasting.com. Now, what literature laid the foundation for malaria study in philately?
What literature? Well, in the late 70s, the Malaria Philatelist International started up, which was before my time, and they had their quarterly journal called The Miasma, and there's about 30 of those that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some random articles in the 60s. Some people wrote about the stamps because the campaign was pretty large,
mm-hmm.
and it was very popular in the 60s when the stamps came out. There was even 3 or 4 different binders created to hold the stamps.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. I see what you mean. Let's give the website address for the malaria stamps group.
Yes, http://malariastamps.com, which is malariastamps.com/MPI for Malaria Philatelist International.
Okay, I had it written down incorrectly. I had www.malariastamps.com.
Yeah, that is my personal website that has about 5 gigabytes of images from my personal collection.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a tremendous resource of just seeing the images of the stamps there.
Yes, I've been scanning for 10 years now.
Ooh, that's a lot of information to have out there. What made you decide to put together this kind of information, make it available on the web?
Well, I personally have been in software for 20 years, and when the Internet first was commercialized, I was working on websites day one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would actually use my website as a training tool for me to learn new languages.
Very good. But you must have collaborated on the information, or is it all just based on your collections?
Without the /MPI site, all those stamps are all mine.
Uh-huh.
And right now, from some of the original members of the MPI from the late 70s, early 80s, are actually creating a catalog, so we're definitely collaborating on that.
Oh, that's great.
And so they've been working on that for 20 years off and on, and now that there's more and more items out there available through all these archives.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah.
It makes it great, and as I said, it is a great availability of items these days.
That's good. Now, I understand you've even gotten into the promotion of the Malaria Philatelist International Collecting Group by creating your own Zazzle postage and cachet envelope. Tell us how you went about that.
Yes, I just went on Zazzle, and due to the fact that I'm doing auctions for the Stamp Club and I'm sending out the items through the mail, and I was just using ordinary postage, and I'm like, well, wouldn't it be nice if I had our logo on a stamp? So I went to Zazzle a few weeks ago and created it. And actually, I just created a tie with the logo on it also that I'll be wearing to the Hartford Stamp Show.
Oh, cool. You want to watch out, though. People might be slapping your belly.
Yes, they may.
Trying to get at that skeeter. I did have an email come in about you. Are you planning on selling these, or are they souvenirs for yourself and club members, which I think you've already answered that. And they wanted to know the size of the club, and if you're selling them, will any sale money go to the World Health Organization?
Right now, the club has, answer the first question, the club has 35 members, and the club's only been going for a year and a half since I restarted it. It was dormant for 15 years,
uh-huh.
And it's a free club, so anybody can join. As for the covers, those will be for the first day covers that I created are for members only. I only created many of them. But I actually will be creating new Zazzle stamps, which will have a different design. The new design will have the website on it, URL. So I will create new covers, and anybody will be able to get those.
Sounds good. So you said something about people were putting together a catalog. Does that count as a publishing plan, or are you just going to continue to be web-based with the information?
The other individual, Mike Beerer, who has been collecting for 40 years now, he's leading that effort, and he does want to publish it so that he can, for people who aren't web savvy, and I think the catalog will have about 1,000 pages.
Wow. So you may want to do it on a CD-ROM as well, just so that there's something a little more potable to carry around?
Yes, agreed. It'll be PDF online for members, and then we're still in the process of figuring out how to publish it.
Now, since your Zazzles, I think that they're technically meters and not supposed to be canceled. Did the post office cancel your Zazzle mosquitoes, or did they give you a hard time?
No, they actually did not give me a hard time, which I was surprised, because I know they're not supposed to cancel them.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, do errors exist in printing and designs? Now, this is on the regular stamps.
Yes, there are many errors. There's inverts, missing colors, missing perfs. I have full panes of vertical perfs missing from the whole sheet. Probably have about 400 different items for the year.
And what's your favorite?
I have to say my favorite set is the UN one. I have over 100 full sheets that I got from a collector, and I've been studying them, scanning at 2400 DPI so that I can go in and do some, high-level scan, to be able to look at all the scratches and all those.
Okay.
Fly specking.
That's good. And actually, you showed some examples of that fly specking. Can you describe that briefly, how you're doing that?
Yes. What I'm doing is, like I said, I'm scanning at 1,200 to 2,400 DPI, and I'm scanning each stamp at a time. And as I have so many full sheets, I can go in there and match up individual stamps with the sheets to find the placement. There's many, many plate flaws on these sheets. There was actually two runs because the first printing of the stamp was horrible. There was all kinds of marks all over the place. And so they did a second printing, and there's still lots of marks on the second one also.
Was it just a lack of quality control, or was it a poor press? Or
I believe it was a poor press.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't carelessness. It was just the way it was built and what they had to work with.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. And so you're going to do a special, a cataloging just of that particular. This is the UN issue.
Yes, and that'll take a long time.
Yeah. Is anybody doing that for the U.S. sheet or any of the others?
Not that I'm aware of. I did do a single-frame exhibit last year on the U.S. Issue, which is on the website also.
And you've been in touch with collectors all over the world on this?
Yes. I believe there's members of the club. There's from 12 different countries at this point. And I buy from dealers from probably 50 countries, all over the world.
Now, is anybody still producing stamps that have to do with malaria or the creatures that cause it?
Yeah, the biggest producer, I would say, would be India. They have their inland letter sheets and letter cards for inland mailings, and those have slogans on them saying, please use bed nets.
Bed nets? Oh, of course.
Yes, and they're actually being produced now. There's actually a new name for them, for the cards. I don't remember what it's called. But they're being produced today.
Hmm. So they're still available, they're still happening, and India is in the forefront at the moment.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. So did countries that don't traditionally have malaria, like I think of France, did they produce them as well?
Yes, France produced them, Canada produced them. A lot of the countries produced the stamps or slogans because they wanted to participate and help out the World Health Organization and generate some revenue for them by donating some of the stamps or covers for them.
And is there still a lot of research going on malaria?
Huge amounts of research. I believe it was a few years ago that Bill Gates is putting in $1 billion, and the last few presidents have all put in lots of money towards the research.
And is the research going on in this country or other countries? Where is it going on?
It's going on all over the world.
All over the world. That's impressive. That's impressive. I must say, you've educated an awful lot of people about malaria you certainly educated me about it, because it was stuff I didn't think it was still around. Well, Larry Fillion, King of the Skeeter and President of Malaria Philatelist International, thank you for sharing your enthusiasm for this aspect of collecting and taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on. I'm Nancy Clark, and you're listening to APS Stamp Talk on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Fight back.
Listen to WS Radio. WS Radio, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Every 2 years, the U.S. and most other countries issue stamps to commemorate the Olympics. The most recent from the U.S. was issued in June for the Beijing Games. It shows a female gymnast surrounded by ribbons, plus the Olympic rings. In recent years, the U.S. has issued just one stamp for the Olympics, unless the games are being held in this country. Then it issues more, some of them at international rates, ostensibly so the athletes can send mail home. Other countries that aren't hosting the games frequently issue several or even many stamps. They're popular with collectors. But there's another tie-in between the Olympics and stamps. Every year, just before the start of the games, the local organizing committee arranges for a stamp show called Olympholex. The longtime former president of the International Olympic Committee, Juan Antonio Samaranch, is an avid stamp collector, and put the stamp show into the requirements. I'm Lloyd DeVries of the Virtual Stamp Club for APS Stamp Talk.